when times in our lives seem confusing and your world appears to be just a little too crazy. Go ahead and take a rest here. Laugh, learn, enjoy a little bit from the lives of others with author and business coach Dennis Mansfield. Then share it with others because joy is just around the corner.
A friend of mine recently said, "The only stuff that happens, happens along the way. So get going." I would add, let's get going because the world is just around the corner. Hi, this is Dennis Mansfield, and welcome to the podcast. I'm an author and business coach by profession. Both tasks weave together nicely to help me examine not just the places that I visit, but the people whose lives provide a most fascinating centerpiece surrounded by the places. Each cultural trend provides a similar segment of life, if we'll let it. See, in fact, let's start with people for whom we have little interest or care. I call them irregular people. Why is it that certain people just make us feel that we wish they were never born? That's a little vulnerable, isn't it? We even feel bad for saying this, but it's often how we feel. At least, we wish they'd been born someplace far away from us. Look, come on. You know who I'm talking about. Their face just flashed across your thoughts. It's understandable for you to feel this way. And believe it or not, such feelings are able to be understood. Here's how. Allow me to coach you up on controlling conflict in your life. I first stumbled upon the DISC assessment, the D-I-S-C assessment, when I started a company and noticed that everyone who worked for me was so distinctively different that I had an extremely hard time figuring out how to deal with them. Some I liked, some I did not at all. Sound familiar? Well, we all are forced to deal with folks who just irritate us to the max. I wanted, however, to be able to see things through the lenses of other people's lives. After all, they weren't my enemies. We worked together, for goodness sakes. And so, all those years ago, I brought in a business coach who provided the DISC assessment for all of us. It was life-changing. For a while, I started to learn things I never knew. A sense crept over me that I was suddenly able to see things about irregular people for who they were, and not just as caricatures of who I thought they were. And after all, isn't that how we want people to see us? So here's how it works. See, it's broken down into four quadrants: D, dominant; I, intuitive; S, steady relator; and C, calculator. Now, this is a behavioral assessment. It's not a personality profile. It's to be able to see what people do and don't do. Why, for example, when my mother, who was left-handed in her behavior, would sit at a restaurant at a certain spot on the table. And you lefties know what spot on the table that is. For those of us who are right-handed, we have no idea what that is. But a left-handed person knows. My mother would sit in that spot on a table. And if any of the seven kids or dad or friends sat in that spot, she'd say, "Get out of the way." Now, a person sitting across the way and hearing my mother would think, "God, what a mean person." But the truth of the matter was, she was left-handed, and her behavior demanded that she should eat with a fork that was undisturbed by any of her little rugrats. Well, that's what we're talking about. It's behavior. Dominant behavior, an intuitive behavior, a steady relator behavior, and a calculating behavior. Brief definitions are simple. The dominant is the person who absolutely walks into any environment and takes charge. They don't even know why they take charge. They just simply do. In that capacity, people around them kind of shy away. They don't know that they shy away. In fact, most dominant people don't care if people shy away. They just want to get the task done. The intuitive, they're the people like, well, Robin Williams, who are very funny and outgoing and so caring about other people's feelings. And they see everything. They notice the person who's not met at the party. They notice the student who's alone. The intuitive teacher is always looking to find ways that they can help their students from kindergarten all the way through postgraduate work. The S is the steady person. They're the loyal people. They're the people who wear Dodgers hats no matter where they go because they love the Dodgers. They're the people who watch the Dodgers lose World Series and then put their caps on and wear it for another year. Guess what? I'm one of them. And my wife is too. She's even more loyal. She bought a uniform for her and for me. And we wear them like old people in Palm Springs or something. I don't know how to say it any other way. But we're Dodger fans and we bleed blue. That's the S, steady relator. Very loyal. The C is the calculator. They're the ones who are always having to be right. Now, don't get me wrong. They can be wrong, and they readily admit that they can be wrong. But after they're wrong and they correct it, they're right. And no matter what power on earth comes against them, they are going to be right. So now you've got dominant, intuitive, steady relator, and a righteous right calculator. And guess what? That messes everything up. Especially when people think the accountant in the group is mean-spirited. Guess what? Most accountants, they have no concept of being dominant. They just want the right facts. Then people look at the people with D, the dominant, and they go, oh, they want it the right way. Well, that's not true. They simply want it done. However it gets done, get it done. Don't get ready to get ready. Get it done. The I is the jokester. The jokester is always laughing, and people are saying, gosh, hush up, man. We don't need you. We need to get things done. But it's the intuitive person who's realizing that the dominant has a chip on his shoulder, that the C is absolutely overstressed, or that the S is too loyal. Can you be too loyal? You absolutely can. Ask people in failed marriages who waited and waited and waited and waited through any number of terrible things. And finally, they gave up, and they started a new life. You see, these are the cultural trends that we have to acknowledge and realize through the disc that once we know, we won't get upset. I'm going to break up this particular segment on culture into three podcasts. So I'll pick it up on the next one as we talk about how to deal with people that are irregular in our lives. Well, it's travel, cultural trends, and entertainment fascinate many of us. They certainly grab my attention and have for quite a long time. Travel's always been a part of my life. From the time that my seven siblings and I were born, we've been on the go. Born into a military family, our life was spent in three-year increments or less. At times, my oldest sibling went to four distinct high schools in 4 years. Think of that. And still graduated second in her high school class. My bride and I certainly got the travel bug as well, and a year would not be fulfilling if airplane tickets, hotels, and rental cars weren't a part of life. Marriage brought together two travelers who've since seen a lot of countries, stayed with many locals, seen things that many have only just read about. Well, why should any of us vacation? Why spend the money? Let's just take a look at that. The average vacation costs around $1,100 per person. That's about $4,500 for a family of four. Here's what to expect when you have to pay for airfare, hotels, food, and activities. It's very expensive, yet it doesn't have to be. See, there are different ways that you can go. Airbnb, there are opportunities to camp. There are things that you can do that reduce the cost of vacations. We've done them all. In fact, we've actually found at different times, different camps that we could go to as a family. Some are faith, some are science, some are education, but they're all great camps that you can vacation at. So many of my friends and people that I've known over the years have said, we just don't go on vacation because, well, we don't know what to do. Yes, you do. And what we like to do in our family is help educate people so that they can go on vacation and that they will go on vacation. Well, sometimes it really helps when you just set aside money and you start the process doing it a little bit each year. That's our goal. That's what we've done. That's what we recommend for you. Here's the other thing to consider. When you're finding hotels, look for ones with a full kitchen. That has been fantastic for us because then we go to the grocery store, we bring it in, and then we cook, and we don't have that cost. as expensive as if it was something that we're going to a restaurant every time. You know, there are great places that have fantastic prices for you. Maybe things that you haven't thought about when you travel. Las Vegas, for example, it's the number one destination for domestic trips, not because people gamble all the time, but because it's so inexpensive to actually stay at the hotels. New York is the second most popular domestic destination, and it has an average of price of $250. It's expensive to go if you want to go to New York, but you don't have to. Airbnb, again, pops up and is a great opportunity. Orlando is the number three, and that one you can get in for a cool $114 a night at most hotels. A lot less for Airbnb. I sound like a promotional for Airbnb. Well, guess what? We have used it for years. I think we were there when it first started. We certainly use it now. And our kids, our adult children, have used it as they've traveled all over Europe. So as you're thinking about vacation and you're thinking about travel, don't let cost get you down. Don't say no. Say yes to vacation and then start saving money, doing it economically, and having fun. You'll love it. And in a thoroughly practical way, towards that end, today's next segment on travel is a focus on asphalt and concrete, streets and highways. Today, we'll talk about brown signs that pepper many freeway off-ramps all across America. My brother Ken and I will share about a quirky travel thing that he and I do when we head out on the open road. We call ourselves the Brown Sign Brothers from Boise. As was said, the only stuff that happens, happens along the way. So as my friend says, let's get going.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Well, Ken, here we are with the opportunity to go back and look at some of the things that we've done in our travels. You know, every show we have that joy. But today we're talking about really the road that has taken us, Route 66.
Right on, from Chicago, Illinois to Santa Monica, California.
It's a long road that's got a long history. I mean, television show from the 1950s and 60s.
You bet.
A lot of people travel it even to today. Where are some of the spots that Route 66 goes through?
Well, it's also known as the Will Rogers Highway. So I'm imagining it goes through Tulsa, Oklahoma. It also goes through Missouri, Kansas.
Now think about that for a second. We're saying that, but look at the map. It is this like wide-ranging, crazy snake of a road. It's not just a straight line like one of our
superhighways
that right. We've had since the 1950s and 60s under the Eisenhower administration that started freeways, but it was a connecting series of fascinating places. When we've traveled on it, we traveled on it as kids. Our dad was in the military. He traveled across the United States. Do you think that's kind of where we got our interest in traveling by car?
This is so funny because I was looking through some pictures on the internet, on Facebook, and they showed the Sonoran desert with all the cacti. Uh-huh. And I could have sworn it was one of the cactus that you and I and Dad stopped off at and looked. And this is my, let's see, I would have been 6 years old, I guess. When we traveled from Mount Clemens, Michigan to California, Dad relocated us. And you and I were in the Corvair pulling the boat, which is amazing that the Corvair even was able to do
I didn't
do
even
that.
Think Corvairs could pull boats.
No.
Maybe they could pull votes. I don't know.
Well, you're the politician.
Recovering politician. Go ahead. But yeah, we did. I mean, and we traveled like crazy off that thing.
And it was so funny to see that picture, to see all those Sonoran cacti in covered in snow.
Yeah.
And when we went through, it was in January because we spent your birthday on the freeway somewhere, not freeway, on the highway.
Yeah.
Because the Corvair had actually broken down.
Which is unusual that a Corvair would have mechanical problems. Exactly. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Ralph Nader.
I thought it was safe at every speed.
Yeah. Well, it only would go 50 miles an hour downhill, but with that boat, remember the axle on the boat messed up too?
And, well, so here we are, the Brown Sign brothers with a Brown Sign dad taking us to snow-covered cacti And you're 6 years old, and what was I? You know,
you
whatever.
Were 14?
14 years
old. No, 15.
Old.
Yeah, because you're 9 years older than I am.
Yeah, and so in that, you and I got the bug.
Yep, absolutely. And it's so funny because even in my own life with my kids as they were growing up, I would often pull over driving from Texas to Florida to go see Dad. There's in Louisiana is a place called the Mansfield Civil War Battlefield.
Yes, there is. I was doing some research on that recently.
Oh, cool.
For my next book. It is an amazing place.
Yeah. And so it's really been fun to, you know, search out these different areas. And now to with you to be able to compile those into the Brownstein Brothers from Boise, it's just a thrill. It's a fun time.
It really is. And Route 66, for any of you who have traveled it and thought, well, I don't know if I went on the whole route. You probably didn't. It's been a disjointed sort of mishmash of connected and sometimes unconnected roadways. But the one thing that you will have, all of us who've ever been on it, is the opportunity to see oddball buildings, hotels, restaurants, big things of aluminum or larger things of wool, balls that have been twined. And you're looking at it going, am I really stopping here?
Well, I've never wanted my balls to be twined before, so I don't know what that would be like, but well, I know that we did
you
see...
know, that sounds like a brother-to-brother comment, so I don't know what to tell you, but whatever happened, that was with our older brother. So, yeah, no, I mean, seriously, these crazy things.
Well, remember when we were in Winnemucca?
Yeah.
We pulled over to get gas, and you had actually said, hey, this is the town that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid had robbed the bank,
yes,
gotten away with a lot of money. And we're like, well, let's go check it out. Let's go see if we can go to the bank.
That's
let's
the nature go. Of what
exactly.
we do.
Exactly. And it was so fun because we went into the hole-in-wall bar, mm-hmm, and grandma was there.
Yeah.
A little old lady, probably 45 years old, smoking a cigarette. 10:30 in the morning.
How you doing?
Hey, boys, you want a drink? We're like, no, grandma, you're scaring me.
And she told us, you got to go across the street.
She did. She said, if you want us to go see the vault that they actually robbed, it's up the street, and my friend is up there working, so go see it.
And we did. We walked across the street. We went to the corner of this street and that street, and it's everybody knows, oh, this is the bank that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid robbed. We walked in the door. What happened then?
Well, the lovely lady there, she's very sweet, and she was in the midst of doing somebody's taxes or something. I forget what it was, and it's not a bank anymore. But she's like, well, we have the apartment downstairs, and the vault is actually a king-size bedroom. So we're like, we got to see this.
She let us down.
Nobody was living there. It was
the
vacant.
Stairway. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to kill us and leave our carcasses in the corner. But no, she was a very gracious woman.
She was. She has 6 teeth in her face.
And it was very lovely.
Yes.
All of them were polished.
And all of them.
And when we got downstairs, she opened up the original vault door. And then she said, people sleep in here.
And it was literally, there's a king size bed in there, and it was a wall to wall bed.
$32,000 were stolen out of that in gold, solid gold, chunks of gold, in gold coins. And the people, they could not believe it because it was so heavy to take out. They finally took it out. And we're sitting there in the dark in this room thinking, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid were.
But then, do you remember, she corrected us and said, well, lure has it that it was Butch and Sundance, but Butch was actually somewhere up either in Idaho or Montana or Wyoming, and it was actually Jesse James and his group before the
I think they have interchangeable criminals.
There you go.
In Winnemucca, because it's spelled so differently, they can change the letters around. They can also change the history around. We found from Brownstein Brothers from Boise that when we get to someplace, the history might be a little skewered, but it sure will be interesting. So we ask you, we encourage you, if you're out there and you're on the roadway and you see one of those brown signs that says historical place up ahead, pull off.
You just might never know what you find.
That's, I tell you what, we didn't. And when we stumbled across it,
it was pure gold.
Man, oh man, it was awesome. If you'd like to see some of the sites that Ken and I have visited, go ahead and text Brownstein Bros. That's Brown Sign Bros. To 72,000. 72,000. 72,000. And watch two episodes of what really Ken and I do when we're out and about. It's a video part of the Brown Sign Brothers on Route 66 and many other highways. You know, over a century ago, in the entertainment industry, even before the phonograph became a common household item, something happened that was remarkable. Live music and music sheets began to be sold in a fashion that people could not even believe the amount of people who were buying a particular song. In fact, in the 20th century, no song gained greater popularity during that era, the first quarter of our century, of the 20th century, than one copyrighted on March 18th, 1911. Most people have no memory of it. Those of us who were raised in the latter half of the 20th century can't even think, what? But it was the killer song at that time that everybody knew and everybody sang and everybody played. Come on along to Alexander's Ragtime Band. That song alone made Irving Berlin an incredible amount of money that continued on, allowing him to be able to make so many other songs that became fantastic. But it was at the very start of this 20th century that Alexander's Ragtime Band took over. It decimated all other music. Now, that's the start of it. But then you fast forward over to the 1960s. Okay. And so the Fab Four come out of Liverpool. And they come in and they are unbelievable. In the first part of 1964, they land in America. And their song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, is number one in February. And it lasts, and it lasts. Billboard's Hot 100 for 3.5 solid months. It lasts. In fact, people thought it might go longer, that it could capture a greater share. But something happened on the way to incredible stardom. A single artist who was 63 years old knocked them out of number one. He himself had been alive during the time of Alexander's Ragtime Band and played that music during the time. He was a trumpeter and he became a singer. It was Louis Armstrong. And when he came out with Hello Dolly in 1964, he knocked the Beatles off, and he returned so many people who loved old traditional music, especially show tunes, to be able to say, let's get back to that. But it was short-lived, because after that, the Beatles kept coming back. Louis Armstrong did a few other songs that were fantastic. But I always found it fascinating in the entertainment industry that the Fab Four, the young 20-year-olds, were escorted off the stage of number one by a 63-year-old man named Louis Armstrong. Just Around the Corner is a feature of DennisMansfield.com. Original music and podcast production by Michael Seals. Kudos to the Traveling Wilburys, Nat King Cole, Ken and Colin Mansfield, Ryan Yeager, Jerry Woods, and Kevin Miller in the Morning for your inspiration.